young men and good fathers one day. And
hello, everybody. Jay here in the Coach's Corner on Winning Edge Sports Network. Tonight, we have a special treat. I've had been asked a lot about having a coach on a Little League or Travel Ball come on, and tonight I was able to get one of the better coaches in the area. And I'm talking about one of the coaches that I think is a championship coach. He's definitely led his teams to a lot of championships. I'm bringing in Mr. Brooks Fodder. How are you doing, Brooks?
Hey, JJ. I'm good, man. Thank you.
Okay, first off, our Coach's Corner is brought to you by Winning Edge Digital. If you have a son or daughter that is an athlete and needs to get noticed, call Cliff at 864-752-8017 or on Twitter at Candidate Clifton. That's at Candidate Clifton. Okay, Brooks, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into coaching.
So my little brother was 10. He's 26 now, and he had played for local rec leagues, and I went to watch a game and was pretty disappointed in how he was being coached, and went to a guy I really respect a lot, who's passed away now. His name is Dan McCullough, and at the time he was the president of the Iowa Rec, and I told Dan that I'd like to get into coaching, and that was during basketball season, so baseball season was right around the corner, and actually started coaching Joseph in 10 and under baseball for the Iowa Rec.
Oh, cool. Now, I know you have two sons that are playing ball. Both are great players. How hard is it to separate being a dad from being a coach when you're in the game, and you know, especially in crunch time?
I would say there's nothing harder. Like I said, you know, I started out coaching my little brother, and that was a great experience in coaching, you know, for 16 years since then. Started coaching my kids in T-ball, so probably around 2013 or so, and it's definitely been challenging because they can't differ. Your own kids can't differentiate a coach and father. So, you know, we talk about it all the time. I read something one time, JJ, that said, you know, when I got the ball cap on, I'm coach. And when I get in the truck and I take the hat off, now I'm dad again.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, from 8 and 10 and under years, you know, I was probably not very good at being dad and coach. I was coach. And probably ruined a lot of rides homes, you know. And then one day, you know, I read something and gave me that idea, and you know, started doing that, and it's made it a lot easier. So for any dad out there coaching a kid, you know, I definitely say that some of the best advice I ever took was, you know, when you play the game, you be the coach. When you get in the car after the game, don't even talk about the game. And take your hat off and go get them something to eat. Get them some ice cream. Let them be a kid.
Yeah. Well, I definitely wanted to ask you, because, you know, I've been to several games because you have coached my grandson, Aiden, and I really appreciate everything that you did for him. When you have parents at the games, and, you know, I admit, Brooks, there's been times I questioned your calls, but you know what? I'm not the one that's the coach. Therefore, I had to learn that, hey, you know what? He knows what he's doing. He's led them to championships, so, you know, for me to make comments is really ridiculous. How hard is it sometimes when you hear parents out there in the background? And, you know, we see videos all the time, you know, where they're just getting crazy. They're going after umpires. And, you know, how hard is that sometimes to try to get the fans, the parents, to stay calm and just believe in the process?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. And, you know, I've always kind of challenged my parents and my players to not blame others for our failures, okay?
Yeah.
So, you know, at the end of the day, man, when you're talking about baseball and an umpire rings you up on strike three that's, you don't feel like it's strike three, it took two other pitches to get to there.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm personally not a fan of blaming. You know, I always put the blame on my partner. I don't know how else to say it other than, you know, I post stuff on the Heat page and in the group chats and even talk to the parents. You know, I remember one specific tournament we lost and the umpires were absolutely terrible.
Yeah.
And, you know, after the game, all the parents were coming to the kids and saying, y'all would have won if y'all would have had different umpires. And, you know, that was really the time that I took a stance to step out and to say, look, we would have won if we would have hit the ball, if we would have made plays.
Yeah.
You know, at some point, if you want to be a great baseball player, or football, or basketball, whatever the sport is you play, you have to take ownership. And, you know, failure is just part of the game. And if you're always blaming somebody else, you're never going to be a true champion or a real winner.
Yeah.
You're always going to find excuses to lose.
I agree with that.
And so, I mean, that's kind of what I've instilled in my kids and every kid that plays for me. And, you know, I think over the years it's rubbed off on the parents, you know. I mean, I think our family of baseball, you know, it's pretty good. I think that most umpires enjoy umpiring our games. They don't have to worry about people acting crazy. You know?
Yeah. Well, that's good to know. Now, give our listeners an idea about travel ball versus little league ball, as they would call it. The plus and minuses, since a lot of people don't understand the whole travel ball concept. I know I didn't at first, because I was always brought up you had the Little League Baseball during non-school season, and, you know, travel ball wasn't a thing, but now it is. Tell me kind of a little bit of why we need both, or, you know, how do you go about that?
Well, I think that, you know, when it first started, there were two different identities. You know, rec ball was recreational ball, where, as far as the regular season, it was local kids playing against each other, and you'd have a champion. In our local league, you know, you play rec ball through the spring, and then at the end of the season, you put an all-star team together. Excuse me. You put an all-star team together, and then you go to a district and compete against another all-star team.
Yeah.
And then you happen to win that district, then you then advance to the state championship. And, you know, I think that is probably the coolest thing that you can ever do as a, you know, 8 through 12-year-old player. And what I mean by that is, you know, we made it to the state championship 3 times in my kids' recreational years. We never won it. We got, I think when Aiden was with us, I think we ended up finishing 5th or 6th in the state.
Yeah.
And then we actually made it back-to-back the last 2 years. Let's see, 21. That was Jake's last year, 12 and under. And we ended up finishing 4th in the state. And then this year was Logan's last year, 12 and under. And
yeah,
we ended up finishing 3rd in the state. And those are some of the funnest times because, you know, Dixie Youth really, really puts on a show for the kids.
Yeah.
It's special to them. There's a lot of recognition. You're there for, you know, for double elimination. So we were there for a week this year. But, you know, until you get to All-Stars, it's more of just a recreational, every kid gets to play, that type of rules. Now, travel ball, we got into travel ball after All-Stars in 2016, and that really made the difference in making our kids great players because, you know, when you're playing recreational ball and you have a group of kids that are pretty good, They go out there and they beat people 20 to nothing, and you're not getting any better.
Yeah.
So when you go out to play travel ball, you're playing kids that basically a lot of times only play baseball year-round.
Yeah.
And so you're playing a lot higher level of competition, and you go lose. And, you know, I've always said that, you know, if we played rec ball from the time, I mean, if you just look at for Jake's career of rec ball, he never lost a rec ball game in his life. Neither did Logan.
Wow.
You know, and obviously until they got to All-Stars.
Yeah.
They got to All-Star, you know. But as far as a recreational game, they never lost a game. So if we had never done travel ball, you know, they would have never known what failure was.
True. That's and, true.
And that's what was so important. That was what was so important for me as a father and as a coach for these kids trying to build Crescent's program is that, you know, we need to go get our butts kicked and see how resilient they are. See if after getting their butts kicked, they want to work harder. And travel ball allowed us to do that. And been, you know, obviously very successful in travel ball as well, but there's also failure with it. So, you know, I think both have good meanings, and it just depends on, you know, what the parent or the player wants to do. You know, is he doing it for fun, or is he doing it for competition, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's the main two separators. Because, honestly, if you took the all-star portion out of recreational ball, you know, I don't know if we would have done it after eight and under, you know, because it just wasn't a lot of competition in the local league.
Yeah. Well, tell me a little bit about the teams you're coaching this year. Maybe a little bit of what they've accomplished. I know I've seen some things on Facebook and where y'all have had some great games. Just tell me a little bit about that and what your sons are doing right now.
All right, sure. So, like I said, this was Logan's last year 12 and under baseball. So, we've done the local rec league, and they went undefeated 14-0, and then they advanced to. After that, you know, we won the All Star team, and our district was held at Saluda this year, and we went down and won the district 3 championship in Saluda, and that then advanced us to Johnsonville for the state championship. And we started out really strong down there. We beat Gaston All Stars, and then I believe it was somebody from the lower part of the state, maybe Hilton Head or somewhat Ridgeland, somewhere right in there. And we were kind of hot, you know, 2-0, and then we had a rain out, and it cost us 2 days. And when we came back, we ended up playing Bamberg, and actually lost to Bamberg in the last inning. And, you know, that was the first time those kids had felt defeat all year. And we come back the next day. There's 3 teams left now. We got to draw straws to see who plays, and we had to play. And so we ended up losing 4-2 and finishing in third place. And then Bamberg, of course, won it all and made it to the World Series. So that's what we've done in the spring. And as summer began, my kids, Jake is 14. He just turned 14 in July. And then Logan, like I said, he's 12. So I wanted to do 2 teams for the fall, really. And so I'm doing a high school team right now, which is basically how it's labeled. But we are a 15 and under team. And then also have a 14 and under team that Jake and Logan both play on. And Logan's filled in a couple of times with the high school kids, too.
That says a lot about his playing.
Yeah, I mean, he's a savvy little player. I mean, he's a good outfielder. He can put the ball in play. And, you know, that's all it's about, man, is competing.
Yeah.
And the high school, the first tournament we've done, we played on Saturday. And then it got rained out the second high school tournament we played in. We won it. So, you might have saw pictures of Aiden. Another banner for a championship in the high school. And then the 14U actually hadn't played but one tournament so far this year. And they came up a little bit short for runner-up. And then they'll be playing their second tournament next weekend.
Okay. Tell me some of the great young players you've had on your teams, ones you feel could be possible stars in the future, because a lot of people say that baseball, just doesn't get the interest of young players, but I think that in this area, baseball really has grown. Just tell me a little bit about some of the players you got. I mean, we don't want to, equal out all of them, but you know what I'm saying? Just an idea of ones that might be, future players in college or even get as far as the pros.
Well, I always like players that are multi-sport athletes, So, I've tried to encourage my kids to always play three sports until they get older and define which one they actually like. But
yeah,
it's hard to single any of them out, man. They're all so good at what they do. In the outfield, we have a kid, his name's Colin McGee, and he came over about a year and a half ago, and he's a really special player. Can play infield, plays a great outfield, can go up on the mound and pitch a little bit, and as far as the batting lineup, he's the leadoff guy. Keeps a pretty high average, usually 400 to 500, and more impressively, on base percentage, it's usually around 600 to 650.
Wow, that's really good.
Yeah, he's been fantastic. On infield, your grandson Aiden is a really, really special fielder. I feel like he's one of those guys that we can put him. I play him at third base usually, but I can move him around the infield a lot. I played him at shortstop. I played him at second base. But as far as natural ability, there's really nobody on the team that has the hands that he has at third base. He's a really, really good player. And when he's up there on the mound, usually don't have to worry about nothing. He's gonna shove and throw strikes and get balls put in play, and you just make plays behind it. And then, for both teams, our catchers have both really, really developed over the course of the last year and a half. It's Brody Guerin. He's the high school catcher. Been very, very impressed over the course of this year how much he's matured and, became a leader on the team instead of, kind of a clown, always cutting up,
Yeah, and, I think I've always liked Brody. You've always had a good player in him.
Yeah. And then Mason Evans with our 14U team. He's just an absolute bull back there. Great catcher. His hitting has come a long way. He's got a ton of power. And I'd be crazy if I didn't talk about Braxton. Braxton Tillman, actually in the first tournament we played this year after school ball was over, he was trying to beat out a ball to first base and tore his ACL.
Mm.
And, for some kids, at 14, he's still 13. He'll be 14, I think, in January, but for a 13-year-old kid to bust out his ACL, you might think that would tear him down a bunch. And you know, maybe stay at home, not that kid, man. He's a, him and his father, his father's, you know, my right hand man, Perry is my assistant coach, and Braxton's been at every tournament and coaching, catching up players with a brace on his leg. I mean, he has a lot of ability, and if I could see one of them, you know, pitching in college, it would definitely be Braxton. I mean, he just has great stuff, and the way he's handled this recovery is just impressive to everybody.
That's B, right?
Yes, B.
Oh man, I was about to say, when you said Brad, I've never known by the first name. I always know him as B. So it took me a minute to try to figure out which one. I was like, man, that sounds familiar. Now, before we go any further, it's true that behind every great coach is the wife. And I'm sure this is true in your case. Tell us a little bit about how much it means to have a wife that does everything and helps you out and is there for you and the kids during all these tournaments going here and there. Tell me a little bit about it.
Oh, yeah, she's awesome. I mean, you know, for me to be away doing two teams essentially every weekend. We have a 6-year-old little girl that doesn't get to see daddy enough, you know.
Yeah.
And, she's awesome, man. I mean, right now, while we're talking about coaching two ball baseball teams, I'm also coaching a 10 and under football team.
Wow.
And I've a couple of nights a week. I'm there helping them guys and. And then, you know, we don't, in the fall, you don't do a lot of baseball practice because, like I said, you know, most of my kids are multi-sport guys, so they're playing or practicing football.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Kim is, she's amazing, very supportive. She knew when we got together that this was what I loved. I love giving back to these guys and trying to encourage them to be better young men and good fathers one day, and trying to teach them how to be winners in life, you know. And
yeah.
I just feel, you know, if you spend your time on a field somewhere, that's so much better than spending your time doing bad stuff, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that, you know, I think deep down, she respects that. I mean, she gives me a hard time, believe me. But I think she loves the tune a little bit.
Well, finally, Brooks, I do appreciate your time and doing this interview for us and giving our listeners a chance to know a little bit more about travel ball and your players. And I hope everybody gets out and supports your team. Let us know when's your next game and where's it going to be at?
So our next football game is Tuesday at Crescent High School at 7 o'clock. Our next travel ball tournament, you know, we never know where we're going to play until Thursdays.
Okay.
14U will be back on the road next weekend. I think that's the weekend of the 22nd.
Okay.
And then the high school league team plays the week after that, so that's probably the 29th weekend. You can follow us, you know, on Facebook. If you look up Heat Baseball, that's our page that we try to keep everybody updated on. Try to, you know, post a lot of player accomplishments and stuff on there, and you can follow us that way.
Well, we'll definitely do that, and if everybody heard that, you can also go on to the Wind Edge Sports Network. We're going to start following the Heat and their team, and please get out and support these young men. Let them know that you're supporting the community baseball and youth league sports. Before we go, Brooks, I got to bring this up. You know, football's in the air. And even though my Clemson Tigers got a little revenge and beat your NC State Wolfpack, Brooks, who you got in the following games? Clemson versus Florida State.
Well, since the Wolfpack just threw Florida State last week, I think I'll take the Tigers in that one.
Okay. All right, now here's the tricky one. Alabama versus Tennessee.
Well, that's a scary game for Alabama, man.
Yeah.
Is quarterback back or is he still out?
It's a game time decision. I don't think he plays, but, you know, stranger things happen.
Yeah, well, I can't go against Saban, so give me the Tide.
Give you the Tide. All right. Another one, Penn State versus Michigan at Michigan.
Yeah, I think Michigan rolls in that one. If it was at Penn State, I might think differently, but I think playing at the big house, man, it's going to be hard to beat them there.
All right, and our final game, something that's going to be close to you, NC State versus Syracuse. And this is two ranked teams. Who would ever thought this would have been said, not against NC State, but, I mean, against Syracuse. I didn't have Syracuse undefeated going against y'all this week.
Yeah, I mean, Syracuse has been fantastic this year considering how bad they were last year. I mean, we all know they have an NFL running back in Tucker. He is special, but the quarterback has really stepped up. His completion percentage last year was, I think, below 50%. Now he's closer to 65%. He's a big, strong, fast dude. I'm worried about that game, JJ. Last week in the third quarter, Devin Leary took a bad shot to his shoulder and had to leave the game. And grad transfer Jack Chambers came in and led two drives that ended up, you know, putting us in the lead. So, you know, I do think that State will compete in this game. And it's always a close game at that place for some reason. But I just think that this is a special year for State. Won two games. Technically on paper, you know, they probably should have lost when you look at how the game folded out. Winning at East Carolina by one and then last week still in that game at home against Florida State.
Yeah.
And I just believe in Coach Doran, and I'm going to take the Wolfpack to go up there and kind of end Syracuse's magical run.
Before weekend.
I think they're going to lose probably the next three games. I think they play us and then Clemson and then Wake Forest. So, if you look at who Syracuse has played so far, I don't think you're going to find a very good team on the schedule.
I would agree with that. Well, Brooks, thank you once again, sir. Appreciate your time. And like I said, if anybody's out there, make sure you follow Miami Heat. It's called the High Heat. Am I correct on that?
It's just Heat Baseball.
Just Heat Baseball. Follow Heat Baseball on Facebook and go out and support these young men. And we appreciate you, Brooks, and you have a blessed night. And thank you for coming on the Winning Edge Sports Network.
Thank you, JJ.